Well, Christmas is upon us. It always comes before we are ready. And that means that it is time to think about gifts. And so when we think about gifts, there's usually two lists. One list is the gift that you make that you are going to give to everybody else so they'll give you everything that you want, right? That's your list. That's the gift that you want. Then there's another list. And this list is a little bit harder. It's the list of gifts that you're going to get everybody else. So what are you going to get mom and dad or your spouse or your kids? And this gift is harder not just because everybody else is so different and they have different likes and dislikes, but also because you don't want to give the wrong gift. We have come into our society where even gift giving is about you. If you watch the commercials over the next 4 weeks, all of the commercials about giving and receiving are going to be about you. Even the gifts on giving are about you. How much of a hero you're going to be if you buy your wife this or that. I mean, I feel like a real bum if I don't buy my wife something from Jared's, right? He went to Jared's and everybody else is just a bum. Well, they're doing that because they want you to feel like a bum if you don't go there. It's all about you. However, we know that God wants us to give. We know that giving is a good thing even outside of Christmas, that God wants us to be givers. And so this morning, as we come to the Lord's table and as we reflect upon what Christ has done for us, I want us to look at three truths about the giving of God that I hope will encourage us to be gospel-centered givers in all of our lives. To be gospel-centered givers in all of our lives. The first thing I want to talk to you about is that when we look at the cross, it reminds us that giving is at the heart of God. Giving is at the heart of God. Many times we think that giving gifts originated with the wise men. However, giving originated with God. All through the Bible we see God takes the position of a giver. In Job chapter 33 verse 4, we see that God is the giver of life. It says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." In 1 Timothy 6:13, "I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things." In Acts chapter 17 verse 25, it says, "Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." God is the giver of life. God gave woman to man in Genesis 2, chapter 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, it says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." God is the one who gives honor. In Psalm 84, 11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor." The God is a giver of provision. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God provides rest. In Psalm chapter 127, verse 2, it says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." And of course, in Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God is a giver. And we see from all of these examples, and there are many, many more, that giving is at the heart of God. However, there's one verse, probably above all others, that demonstrates this truth. And it is a verse that we're all familiar with. So turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 16. That's where we're going to be this morning. John chapter 3, verse 16. If you forgot your Bible or didn't bring it this morning, we have Bibles available to you underneath the seats around you. And so if you find that, so you can follow along with us today, and John 3:16 is on page 888, so you can grab one of those and follow along. John 3:16, here it says that God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. God's heart of love is what compels him to give. God is a giver because he is a God of love. Now, this is important because it sets up the next 2 points. However, what this tells us for now is that giving is not something that God does begrudgingly. He's not obligated. God gives, and giving is at the heart of God because God loves. Giving is at the very center of God because love is at the center of God. Giving should be the natural practice of those who claim they love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this is because it is the love of God that compels God to give. Therefore, our love for God should be the primary compelling factor in our giving. Whether it is time, whether it's money, whether it's a gift, whatever it is, what should compel us to give is our love for God. If giving is at the heart of God and the Spirit of God is in our hearts as believers, then giving should be at the heart of every believer. Yet the world argues that giving is about what we gain from the world. And so we give to those that will give in return. Or if we give a gift and they don't give us anything back, we're kind of put out. We kind of scratch them off our list. They don't get anything next year because they didn't give me anything. And again, giving, because in the way the world thinks, is about what you're going to get back from the world. What compels you to give is what you're going to get back from them. Except what should compel the believer is what they already have in Christ. Because the Spirit of God rests in the heart of man when he comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God should compel us, because he is a God of love, to be givers and to give of ourselves. Giving for the Christian should not be motivated by a season. Now, certainly the Christmas season should remind us of God's gift to us, and that should compel us to give. And that really is the whole reason for the sermon. That's the point. However, when most people talk about being in a giving spirit, they don't mean God's love has compelled them to demonstrate love through giving. However, for you and for me, that it should be exactly what it means. When we say that I am in a giving spirit, it should be because I have reflected upon God, and I have reflected upon his greatness, and I have reflected upon his gift, and therefore I am now compelled also to give because of my love for him and my love for others. Let me challenge you as a way of practical application this morning to think deliberately about giving from a gospel-centered heart, even in this Christmas season. In other words, be intentional in why you give and be intentional in how you give so that it is gospel-centered. Think about this. As you wrap the gifts that you're going to give, pray for the person that you're going to be giving them to. But beyond that, pray for God to give you the words to express your love for that person and God's love for that person. Now, for a family member, obviously that would be something that might be a little bit easier. But what about for a coworker? Or what about for a neighbor? Certainly you don't want to say anything to them that's going to get you in trouble or be taken the wrong way. So you don't need to necessarily go to them and just say, oh, I love you. That's not how we want to do it, right? You don't want to get in trouble. However, you can say something like this. Listen, I just want you to know that I appreciate you because. Here's why I appreciate you. Well, you know what? I thank God for you because, as you give them the gift. And make it an opportunity to hopefully open a door so that you can begin to share with them the greatest gift, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may find that your expression of love is actually more important and more impactful than even the gift that you give. And people are looking and they are longing for love. And they are looking for answers. And yet we find in the Christmas season, when you would think, as people are paying attention to them and they are receiving gifts, that they would be happy and that everybody would be merry, except statistics tell us that more people are depressed at Christmas than any other time. Why? Because they're finding that the things that the world gives them are empty. Yet God has given us, out of the love of His heart, a perfect gift. And it is the gift that you can also give. But there's a second truth about the giving of God that I want us to look at this morning. When we look at the cross, it reminds us that God is a sacrificial giver. God is a sacrificial giver. John 3:16 doesn't end with the fact that God just gave. The verse goes on to tell us specifically what it is that God did give. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Now, if you were to come into this place with absolutely no biblical understanding, then you may think that someone who gives their son, that's a little bit odd. I mean, why would someone want to give their son away as a gift? However, there are two things that this points to that reveals to us why this is such a good gift, the fact that God gave His Son. First, we know that the Son of God was Christ Jesus, and we know that Jesus was God. So in giving His Son, God was giving of Himself. God didn't just say, I'm going to give you just something. He says, I'm going to give you Me. That is the gift that I'm giving you. That is why this gift is so good, because I'm giving you of Myself. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Have this mind in you, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That verse tells us that Christ was equal with God. He was God, yet He humbled Himself. He took on human flesh and He came to this earth. It was God's gift of Himself to us. But there's a second thing this points to, which is the purpose or the necessity for God to give Himself, for God to give His Son. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God gave of Himself. His Son came, but He came with a purpose. He came to die on the cross. This verse connects the love of God to the sacrifice of His Son. So if we were to put the idea of John 3:16 and Romans 5:8 together, you would say this: God so loved the world that while we were still in rebellion against God, He gave His Son to die for us. That's the gift of God. So God gave Himself to die in our place so that we could be forgiven of our rebellion. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is the sacrificial substitute. So when God gave of Himself and He gave His Son, He gave so He could come and He could take our place. He sacrificed Himself so that you and I could have salvation, so that we could have forgiveness of sins. Many people will say that salvation is full and salvation is free. And certainly there's nothing wrong with that phrase, because salvation is full. There's nothing that you have to do. And salvation is free. It costs you nothing. However, just because salvation is free does not mean that salvation is cheap. Just because salvation is free does not mean that salvation is cheap. It costs the sacrifice of God's Son in order for us to be given the gift of salvation. When you see Jesus in the manger this Christmas, don't forget that the baby grew to be a man and He was murdered for your sins. Christmas has no meaning if there is no crucifixion. But because God loved, He gave sacrificially of Himself. Let me ask you, are you a sacrificial giver? Do you reflect in your life the giving of God? Sacrificial giving is a giving that necessitates faith. In other words, you give knowing that if God doesn't come through, then you go without. This is why sacrificial giving is so pleasing to God. You set aside time to serve others, knowing that if God does not do something, then you're going to be out of time. You expend energy and you give resources, knowing that if God doesn't provide, you come up short. You write your Lottie Moon check, knowing that if God does not provide, you're in trouble. Jesus sacrificed himself, trusting that God would raise him up. And as the Father was faithful to the Son, so he will be faithful to you, which is why we can be sacrificial givers, because we cannot outgive God. And all that we do for him and all that we give for his glory, he will always come through and provide and meet our needs. But there's a final truth here about the giving of God, and that is this: when we look at the cross, we are reminded that God is a gracious giver. Giving is at the heart of God, then we see that God is a sacrificial giver. Number three, God is a gracious giver. John 3:16 continues with the results of Christ's sacrifice. God gave, he gave his Son. And what was the result of that? Why did he give his Son? It says that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but in contrast, have eternal life. We see in this phrase that God's love not only compels sacrificial giving, but gracious giving. First, it says, whosoever will believe. And this is important because it levels the playing field for all. In other words, the rich don't get in while the poor are left out. The result of Christ's sacrifice is not reserved for white males that live in America. It means that the drug addict and the murderer can participate in this salvation as well. No one has a greater advantage than anyone else. Anyone and everyone who believes are included. They're able to receive God's gift. God is a gracious giver. However, we really see God's grace when it describes what those that believe receive. They don't perish, but in contrast, they receive eternal life. And this contrast is an important one because it speaks to what we deserve. What we deserve is perishing. Why do we deserve to perish? Because we've all rebelled against God. We've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. However, because God loves us, because he is a God of love, he offers to all, everyone, and he gives to those who believe what they do not deserve. That's what grace is. You get what you don't deserve. And here's what God says: everyone is in rebellion, but because I am gracious, I will offer to all, and I will give to those that believe, even when you do not deserve it. That is grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God." Romans chapter 8, verse 32, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him graciously give all things?" The one who gave Jesus for our salvation, will he not also then give forgiveness and give mercy and give peace and give understanding and give all that we need? He's a gracious God. Have you ever thought about why you give your children gifts? Think about it. What have they done for you to deserve the amount of time and money and effort that you put into finding, buying, and wrapping their gifts? Think about it. You spend more amount of energy, time, and money to get gifts for someone who requires from you the greatest amount of energy, time, and money. Why would you give them a gift? In reality, what we should do is give them a card, and here's what the card should read. "This card has been given to bring remembrance to your head. You're alive, your stomach's full, and in your room you have a bed. Your bed is soft, your meals are warm, and our hugs give you a lift, which you may need when you find out that this card's your Christmas gift." Why do we give our kids gifts? They don't deserve it. But you don't give them gifts because they deserve it. You give them gifts because you love your children. It's grace. And in the same way, you and I are not deserving of the salvation which was enabled through Christ's sacrifice. God is not obligated by anything that we do to give us anything that we have. But from God's love, he graciously offers what you and I do not deserve. Knowing this should affect also the way that we receive the gift of God. Not as though we've earned it, not as though we're owed it, not flippantly as though it's nothing more than a decision or a prayer. Not with a haughty spirit as though our deeds justify it, but humbly broken over our sin, begging for mercy, for grace, for his salvation. And it should compel us to give the gift away. We were once the whosoever who didn't deserve salvation. How prideful is it of us to withhold this gift from others? Listen, the greatest gift that you have received is the greatest gift that you could ever give away. I wonder, as we reflect upon the grace of God demonstrated on the cross of Christ, if maybe the Spirit is reminding you of someone you will see over the next weeks who needs the gift of God. Maybe a neighbor or a guy at the office or that family member. Look, they certainly don't deserve this gift. They don't deserve for you to say, listen, God loves you. And God has provided the means of salvation for you. They don't deserve it, but neither did you. And that's one of the reasons it's such a great gift. See, it reflects the glory and the grandeur of a God that would give us exactly what we need, even though we don't deserve it. I wonder if you would give that gift away during this Christmas season. In just a few seconds, we're going to come to the Lord's table. And as we reflect upon the body and the blood of Christ, it should remind us of the gracious gift of salvation freely given to us by God, and it should compel us to give of ourselves so others can receive this gift as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're thankful this morning. We're thankful because you have given us life. We're thankful because you have given us help. We're thankful because we have been fed this morning. We sit in this place in soft seats in a warm, covered area. We have friends and we have family around us. You have protected us this morning. And yet all of that pales in comparison to the gift that you have given. The gift of your Son, Jesus, who did take on human flesh, who lived a sinless life, who died a sinner's death so that we might receive forgiveness. And Lord, how appropriate it is that we come to your table this morning and we reflect upon your sacrifice during the Christmas season. And Lord, I do pray that our hearts would be prepared as we come to you, as we reflect upon the body and the blood, upon you giving everything, not holding anything back, so that we could receive salvation. And Father, may it be to your glory and to your honor that we partake of these elements, knowing that they are just symbols, but symbols to remind us of the greatest gift that was ever given. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.